This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Advice and opinions expressed during the program are solely that of the hosts or guests and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC. When it comes to home repairs, we could all use a guy. Well, we've got the guy, and we've got the show. For all your home improvement questions, we've got answers. This is The Fix-It Show on WTMJ. Presented by J&B Construction and Siding Unlimited. Now, here's your host, Dayton Kane and David Nason.
Last show of May, David. Can you believe it? Good morning.
That week went by very quickly, didn't it?
The whole
I knew
month
it was a short week, but still. Wow. Yes, last week of May.
It's like a whole new show. We got Nate instead of Isaac in the producer's booth. We've got Jen doing news instead of Elizabeth.
We're still here. Yes.
The phone number still works if people want to call us. 855-616-1620. So, no guests this hour. So, we're going to talk about anything and everything you want to talk about. Next hour is going to be Eric Brown with Outdoor Living Unlimited. So, decks and that sort of thing, let's save until next hour. But let's talk through some things. And I want to start the show because this is the time of year we start seeing more squirrels and more chipmunks and more birds and more things that are nesting and trying to find spaces to hide stuff. And I was at a house this yesterday, soffit, fascia, squirrels just, you could hear them throughout. She's like, what do I do? I'm like, first you gotta get rid of the squirrels. Like, we can't fix this until, because if you fix it and trap the squirrel inside, now there's more damage happening because they're digging around other places trying to find ways out.
Yeah, they're digging around anyways. More people have had, maybe not squirrels, but other pests in their attic than they realize.
Yeah, that's, you see the it reality all the time, right?
Yeah. I always say somewhere between 60, 70, maybe a little higher, 75% or so of the attics that I go in, which every time I'm doing a home inspection, I'm looking in the attic, they have evidence of at least mice, sometimes birds, sometimes bats. And you can tell the difference really between or among the three. Squirrels are going to make a big mess. And I don't see them that often. Mice, you're going to, if your insulation looks like it's the Badlands kind of where you got these little mountains and everywhere. And in between there's looks like trails. Those are trails. And then if you see the holes in the insulation about an inch diameter, those are tunnels. So, and then you'll see the dropping sometimes and everything. So that's evidence of mice activity. Birds, you're going to see more twigs, branch, you know, little pieces of hay and things. They're trying to make a nest kind of thing, stuff like that, or by vents and stuff. And bats, you'll see their droppings, and usually in little piles where they're kind of hanging out, literally hanging out. And bat droppings are about 3/8 to 1/2 inch long and about 1/8 inch diameter. So much different than mice. Pretty, once you see them once, you're like, oh, a little smaller than a raisin, basically.
Don't eat them.
No.
So, I mean, do bats do a lot of damage? Like, squirrels can do damage. They'll gnaw on wood.
Yes.
They will chew electrical wires.
Yep.
They will, the droppings, obviously, of any animal critter up there isn't great. Mice aren't horrible because they're so little. But you start getting into bats and squirrels and you need to get them out.
Right. Yeah. Mice, if they die, I mean, if a bunch of them die, you can smell them, or if they're in a big area and they're peeing, you know, they're making a mess and everything. But mostly if they die, they just kind of dry up.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot to them.
Yeah.
So they dry up pretty easily. Birds, they can make a mess and everything. Squirrels, same thing. You know, bats, if there's a lot of droppings, that's more of, I don't want to say toxic, but there's certain animals where their droppings are just, you know, you really don't want to come in contact with them.
Gotcha.
Kind of thing.
And
so,
if they're in your attic, that's where they're hanging out. That's where they live, right?
We always hear about bats having rabies, I guess.
Yeah.
And so you really don't want to get anywhere near them. I've only seen a live bat once. It was behind a wall in the attic had insulation and then a plastic vapor barrier, and it was behind it. And I kind of crawled over there and I tapped on the plastic and it moved. I was like, okay, you're alive. Fine. Back up. Take a picture. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But I really don't see live animals ever.
They're afraid.
People ask, are you seeing? Yeah, exactly. As soon as I make some noise by that attic hatch to come in there, they're gone. Yeah. And this time of the year, mostly they're gone. They're not in an attic unless they're nesting.
right.
kind of thing. But they're outside now. So it's usually a fall, winter, you know, kind of thing where they're in the attic.
So definitely, so when our stance on it at Siding Unlimited is you need to get them out before we come, because you don't want to trap them in the house. Like
right.
if we come in, we fix the hole and we fix the softened fascia and they're still in there.
Yeah.
Well, now they're going to try digging around to get out somewhere else and just yeah. make more of a mess. Yeah. So anyway, you need to get them out. Fleas, ticks. Yeah. I mean, these critters can bring in other critters right. and you don't want that happening either.
And it's pretty accepted that you trap mice or put a poison or something like that. Okay. And
yeah.
squirrels, people actually hunt squirrels and everything. So can you shoot them? I don't think you should go up in your attic and start shooting around with a pellet gun or something like that. But bats, you are not allowed to trap or kill bats.
Woodpeckers.
You know, so if you have a pest management company, they're going to find they're coming in here and they put a kind of this escape thing on it. It looks like wire mesh basically, but it's designed in a way where the bats can exit your attic, but they can't come back in through it. It's got these prongs on it, so they can't get back in. They can go out. So they have to set that for a certain amount of time so that they can, and then they kind of clean some things up. And then once they don't see any more evidence, now you can close up that opening.
Gotcha.
And keep them from
coming
back.
Now they've moved
in.
To the neighbor's house.
Exactly.
So you're good to go.
Yeah, build a bat house out in your backyard and everything. So.
All right. Next, when we come back, I want to talk about how much should we be setting aside for home maintenance each month or every year. We'll talk through that. If you have questions, 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. It is a Fix-It Show.
The Fix-It Show with Dayton Kane and David Nason on WTMJ.
47th annual Locust Street Festival going on tomorrow from 11:30 to 8 o'clock. Have you ever been there? 47 years it's been going on.
I used to live down by UWM, but so I never went to the festival.
Okay. Well, tomorrow might be the day. Something to
probably do. Probably
not. So let's talk about this a little bit. You own a home.
Yeah.
We all, as we always say, nothing's maintenance free.
Free, right?
So we know we're going to be doing maintenance on our home throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the average person should be setting aside each month or each year in anticipation of having to do this?
Should be or are?
Should be. That's the question I want to ask after we talk through this is, are you – well, let's ask that question. If you're listening, we want you to text yes or no to 855-616-1620. Yes, we set aside each month or each year for maintenance on the home, or no, we don't set aside money. We just pay for stuff as it comes up and we have to take care of it. So
are we placing bets here on what the answer is going to be?
No, because you and I both do this for a living, right?
Right.
And I don't set stuff aside. It's, I need a new furnace, time to buy a furnace. And let's hope I have the money at that point.
Right.
So, yes, if you save for home maintenance. No, if you don't save for home maintenance and you just take care of it when it comes up. So what do you think? What do you think we should be saving? I got a couple different ways that you're supposed to figure it out here.
I would probably look at it from a standpoint of knowing what some things cost.
Sure.
And then just being able to evaluate your home. Like, okay, I just had LP Smart Side put on my house 3 years ago. I was like, okay, I'm not going to worry about that.
Not going to need siding.
Probably as long as I'm going to own the house. Okay, I know I'm going to need a roof soon. Okay, so what's that going to cost me? My windows are in pretty good shape. I'm going to, so I would probably break it down to what do I think I need to do on my house and try to think of it that way rather than just say, well, I should probably put about $300 a month away to maintain my house.
Okay.
Are we including being part of, the Capital Heating's,
maintenance,
their group, to maintain your HVAC system. Sure. Yeah. Okay. That's $24 a month right there. To be part of
and if you're not part of
Defenders.
That club, you're still doing your service on your furnace, your service on your air conditioner each year. So that's a fee that you're going to pay. Yeah,
exactly.
Right? Cost.
So I don't know. What'd you find?
There's three different methods here that I found. One is the 1% rule. So you take your home's value. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have a $250,000 home. They're saying about $2,500 a year you should be putting aside for maintenance. or knowing you're going to spend about $2,500 a year on maintenance items. Square foot rule is the other one. Take a dollar per square foot. So if you have a 2,000 square foot home, $2,000 a year you're expected about to pay on home maintenance stuff. And if you're not spending it on it, you should be saving that knowing you're going to be spending it, like you said, on a roof in 10 years or whatever. So, and the third one is just a 10% rule. 10% of your housing costs. So your mortgage, taxes, and insurance each month, whatever you're paying for that, take 10% above that and save it for the maintenance you're going to have to do. So there's three different methods. They all work around, like I said, it looks about about a 1% rule to me. So
that's going to vary greatly, I think, based on where you live.
And that is in here as well. You know, if it gets really cold, that could cause more issues. If it gets really hot, that can cause more issues.
You might live in a high value area, you know, Elm Grove or, you know, River Hills or something, and property values are really high, but that doesn't necessarily mean the cost of repairs and everything are that much higher than, say, if you lived in Brookfield or something, or, you know, another suburb here of Milwaukee. So
I kind of like your method. If you know what you have coming up, you got to start planning for it instead of it surprising you. So many people I know, their roof goes and they're like, I need financing because I don't have money for this. Right.
Right.
Which is fine. Yeah. And most of us, I think, are living that way. Like, okay, I have to take care of this now. Yeah. How am I going to do it?
Unfortunately, you hear too much about people living paycheck to paycheck kind of thing. But you know, unless you're in the kind of an industry like you and I are, how would you know this? Well, maybe you should have a home inspection.
Yeah.
Well, then you could know.
And even because, like, even in this article, this says it was updated in 2026. They said the average repair of a roof replacement is $6,000. That is so
replacement.
Don't trust the internet. Is what I'm saying. You need to get some people out quoting you some things.
Yeah.
Because just because you saw a number on the internet doesn't make it right.
Is that your garage roof?
$6,000 is nowhere near what your roof is going to cost you unless you live in a tiny, tiny house.
Well, does that say replacement or repair?
It says replacement.
Replacement.
So it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just flat out wrong. So people are starting to text in. So let us know. Do you save for home maintenance? That's a yes. Or do you just take it as it comes and pay for it and figure out a way? That would be a no to 855-616-1620. When we come back, we do have a question about a commercial building and some water issues. We'll talk through that when we are here on the Fix It Show. And then next hour, Eric Brown from Outdoor Living Unlimited on with us. So we'll talk about decking and everything on the outside of the house that hour. Thanks for listening this morning to WTMJ.
WTMJ's The Fix-It Show with David Nason and Dayton Kane.
Thank you for joining us. It's going to be partly cloudy, breezy, a high of 65 today. I'm Dayton. That's David. We talk through squirrels. We talk through what we should be saving for home maintenance. By the way, nobody has said yes yet.
Yeah, everybody's saying no.
Everyone's saying no. Like, nope.
Shame on you.
We don't save. We just take care of it as it comes along.
I'm not shaming anybody, but no, because we're in the yes.
You want to do fun stuff with your money, right? You don't want to save for maintenance.
But you should plan a little bit. We all should plan a little bit.
We all should plan better. But let's talk about this text here at 855-616-1620. I purchased a commercial building last December. The backside is about 15 feet from a river and about 4 feet above the river. I'm having small amounts of groundwater tested by water utility running to the sump crock. Is there any solution out there?
Move the river? No, I'm kidding. I mean, your groundwater, there's not a whole lot you can do about groundwater, right? That's
just so that's coming up. It's not coming up in, it's coming up.
Make sure your sump pump is always working. Maybe put a backup in there. You can't divert. You don't have any control over where water is going underneath your building, your home kind of thing. So we talk about the hydrostatic pressures. Sometimes if it comes up through your concrete basement floor, or seeps in there, so the only thing you can do is just make sure that you're pumping the water when it comes into the crock.
I have a question.
Not much else.
Kind of related to this, but not. We had the wettest April in the history of Wisconsin. Now we have the driest May in the history of Wisconsin. What is that doing to our foundation? Like, to go from that wet to that dry, what are we looking for? Anything different?
If you have a concrete block basement,
which I do,
And if you have typically little cracks, like step cracks, horizontal cracks and everything, if they get a little bigger, which they typically will when the ground is wet and swells a little bit, right now those cracks might be either gone completely or now they're much smaller, because especially if you have clay soil around your house, clay is in an expansive soil. When it gets wet, it expands. When it dries out, it can actually pull that wall back. Or if your wall, you know, bows in a little bit when it's wet, it can actually pull that wall back straight. So now for a home inspector, we actually have to be aware of that, those conditions. So I go in a basement and, oh yeah, just a hairline crack here. No big deal. You know, keep an eye on it. But when it was wet back in April, that crack might have been a quarter inch thick. I'm like, oh, that's pretty significant. Right. So we do need to, I always put in my reports what the weather conditions are, what they have been. Probably haven't been saying anything about how dry it's been. I think I need to, going forward here this next couple of weeks until we start getting rain again, that's something really to be just aware of. If you're looking at a house, just be aware how dry it's been.
It worked out really well. Yesterday we had our granddaughters in staying with us because my daughter had our third granddaughter yesterday. Congratulations to Kylie and Jared on another addition to the family. So I got the sprinkler out, got to water my lawn and run through the sprinkler with the girls had a good time last night doing that. So, it's been really dry.
More of your questions next. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Dayton Kane and David Nason here. We have Nate in the producer's studio. Get your calls and texts in at 855-616-1620. I'm glad you're here. I thought for sure you'd be at the tattoo festival and you'd skip out.
I missed it.
Yeah, I thought for sure you'd be hanging out there. No?
Okay, we're not.
Hey, no, I got a tattoo. I'm not saying anything wrong with tattoos. You just don't have one. I know you don't.
I haven't. And surprisingly, I was in the Navy and I didn't get a tattoo.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Those were the OG tattoo guys back in the day, or the Navy guys.
I don't know. I don't like needles, you know?
Fair enough.
Even though I gave blood a lot, I really should get back into that. The idea of just this thing is probably going through boot camp. You know, you stand in a line and they're just shooting you with all these shots and everything. And I'm not a fan.
We were talking about sump pumps before. Somebody actually texted in, besides a battery powered sump pump, are there water powered sump pumps? Heard something about that. Is that true or a myth? No, that's
true. It's true. Yes, they're water. You do have to be on city water. You can't be on a well, because obviously if the power goes out, your well pump won't work. So it works on the siphoning. There's probably a term for it, but once you get the siphon going by water passing through a pump, it'll just start.
Right.
You know, pumping water.
So I had one like that where I could put it on my drill.
Yeah.
And a hose on the other end, and it started it spinning. And once it started spinning,
Once it's primed, it's got to get primed with water.
I got that because the house I lived in before this one, every spring the snow would melt and we'd have a lagoon between the four houses in our back, like big enough where ducks would come and live there. So I got that to pump it into the street, into the sewer, and get it cleared out. But yeah, so there are they are out there.
Yes,
which would be good, I guess, if you know if your power goes out and you got the water, then it's going to start going.
Yeah, you could have a plumber hook up a system like that for you.
Yeah, 855-616-1620 is a Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line on this. Do you save? Do you not save?
We got a bunch of no's. All of a sudden, some yeses are coming in.
I think when we said nobody was saying yes, people are like, "Well, I do that." This one says we own rental property and we do reserve money specifically for home maintenance. For our personal home, though, it's more of a pay-as-you-go proposition, unless we know something big.
And I would say that makes more sense, because in my career, I've worked in residential remodeling, construction, now home inspections. I've also worked in the commercial building industry. And residential, you know, when it comes to your own home, things are more emotional. Your decisions about your home and buying, remodeling, with things you're doing. And in the commercial world, it's all about money. It has to make sense. It has to make financial sense. Are we buying this building? Are we doing this improvement or something? So they're just looking at the dollars.
Sure.
And so people who are buying investment properties, it's got to make money or I'm not doing it.
One thing that, you know, that's when you live in a condo, those fees are supposed to be being set aside for projects down the road. So, I've run into some condos where they don't have the reserves. Right. Like, I don't know what they're spending it on, or they're not paying enough to begin with every month to cover everything.
Yep. Last fall, I helped out a condo association with an inspection like that to help to get them to a point where, okay, we got to start making sure that our roofs, our siding, you know, things that on these all these buildings need to be replaced soon.
Somebody else texted in, I invest in stocks that pay good dividends to pay for repair. Well, that's nice. I also try to live below my monthly income and save that money until needed.
The second sentence is probably, you know, more what you can count on, the stocks. I mean, that's great, but obviously, and the market's in doing gangbusters right now, but, you know, it can also go down. So, but obviously living either below your means or within a budget, you know, the federal government doesn't have to, you know, only pay what comes in. They seem to be able to pay beyond that. We, you know, you and me, if you don't, you make this amount of money, you can only spend that amount of money.
Yeah.
You know,
kind of well, thing. You can go way into credit card debt if you want.
Okay.
I know people that have done that.
Yes. Right.
Myself included. I'm not anymore, but back in the day, we lived on credit card. 855-616-1620. Yes. All the homes in our neighborhood were built around the same time. And so, well, there's another factor. How old is the house? Oh, if your house was built in the late 90s, right now, you're looking at siding, roofing, windows, doors, like
furnaces, air conditioners.
Everything's starting to kind of get to that point where like, oh, we're going to start replacing this stuff. Several years ago, they started replacing roofs. We realized we're going to need one as well, and we started saving. Our decking needs replacing as well. We were saving. Yes. Yeah. Let's see another one. These are all coming in now. Yes, I keep a spreadsheet that lists all the upcoming repairs and remodeling. Wow. I prioritize and estimate costs so we can set aside money for when we think we need to do this work. Unexpected repairs still pop up from time to time. Sump pump died in April, but the goal is to plan as much as I can. Scott from Brookfield must be an accountant.
I was just going to say Scott's an accountant.
Or an engineer or something along
more like
that line.
But financial well done, planner.
Yeah. More people should be doing what you're doing. So another one says I set money aside for two big ticket things, AC furnace and new roof. Otherwise, I put aside $100 a month for other stuff. So
that's a good
there
idea.
Are people out there saving.
Yeah.
Kudos to you.
Good idea.
I'm very proud and need some lessons from you.
And that's just a matter of, you know, what we talk about. Get out and look at your home. Look, just understand your home.
Yeah.
It's not just something you live in. It really is an investment. As we talk about it, it's the largest purchase that you're probably ever going to make. And it makes sense and makes good financial sense, and what I said, good emotional sense, because if you're living in a home that's well kept and nice and everything, you're going to feel better about it, I think.
Yes,
rather
for
than
sure.
I gotta do that again, you know, just don't let it get you down. Go about the other way. Hey, I gotta get taken care of, then I'm good. Okay, just set that aside if you can.
You know, it's funny. Every time I mow my lawn, I get frustrated because I see all the imperfections that I don't pay attention to the rest of the week.
Sure.
Right? From a distance, I look at my yard and I go, oh, my house looks nice sitting up on a big lawn. It looks nice. But then I start mowing. I'm like, oh, that plant. Oh, this divot. Oh, blah, blah. And then I forget about it the second I walk off. I'm like, no, I should really get out here and fix this stuff so every week I don't get mad at my yard when I'm.
Right.
So, by the way, Scott texted
He's
back.
He's a project manager.
He's a project manager. So, that makes sense.
Right.
Advice you can use. It's the Fix-It Show on WTMJ.
Smoke on the Water, Milwaukee Barbecue and Brews Fest going on at the Summerfest grounds today. That might be worth checking out.
Smoke on the Water is a restaurant out on Okeechee Lake.
Oh, is it?
Have you been there?
No.
My son, Will, bartends there from time to time. For a while ago, he was regular. Now, he just from time to time, he might go back. But the owners of that also own Sloppy Joe's up in Richfield.
Okay.
So good food, really good food. They make smoked bourbons.
Oh yeah,
where you put like an old fashioned. They'll put it in a smoky chamber.
I got one of those at home where you can light it over the top and it smokes it up. But
pretty cool.
Nice.
So I don't know
if
it's the same place, but
855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. Good morning. I have birds nesting in a second floor bathroom exhaust vent. One of the louvers has a small hole in it. I'm wondering who to call. I did call Batsner, but I'm wondering if there's other suggestions.
Yeah. Batsner has been around Milwaukee area for a very long time. They got bought by Terminix.
Yep.
So it's Batsner Terminix or Terminix Batsner. I don't know which one's first, but you could call them as they did. I've worked directly with another company in the area called Advanced Wildlife and Pest Control. I was involved in a basically a legal case where pests were involved, and I was able to observe for a period of time Advanced Wildlife Pest Control do their work and talk to the lead guy while they were there. And so I got to see them firsthand. And so I think they did a really good job. So I've recommended them to people, and I've heard they've always got good things to say about them.
And they're again,
up in Slinger.
If you weren't here at the beginning of the show, you can always catch the podcast wherever mm-hmm. you get your podcast, or go to YouTube after the fact and watch it. But we were talking about pest control at the beginning of the show. You need to get them out.
Yeah.
If you see birds going in your house, if you see squirrels going into your house, raccoons, yeah. anything, woodpeckers getting in holes, you got to yeah. get them out. They're just going to keep doing more damage.
If you have if you bought a house recently and you got a home inspection, and if you're saying, hey, you know, my home inspector didn't say anything about them, just keep in mind that inspecting for pests is beyond the scope of a home inspection. We don't have to say anything about pests or like hazardous materials and everything. I'm personally an inspector that says, if I see something, I say something.
Sure.
I'm going to put it in my report. If I pop my head up in the attic and I see there's evidence of mice, and I go, they don't need to know anything about that. I think they want to know. People want to know stuff like that. Just keep in mind, you might be like, oh, he shouldn't have said anything. You know, they didn't have to. But you still want to know.
Somebody said, I strongly recommend a home inspection. David did one for me in February 2024 to help establish a big maintenance budget. Oh, I prioritized items, addressed a few defects immediately, and then spread items over several years. I created an annual capital budget, an escrow, and monthly amount to it. Nice.
Oh, great. Thanks for the...
Man, I'm slacking. I need to pick up my right? my responsibility
yeah.
and start budgeting a little better. We did a roof, though.
Yeah.
We did, like, I think we've got it all covered
yeah,
for a while.
The big stuff, probably. Yeah,
the big stuff, anyway. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's always home maintenance. There's always something
there
to
is.
Do.
And you have vinyl siding,
yeah.
right? So you're not looking at painting
right.
and things, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, good. Keep them coming. 855-616-1620. We'd love to hear, do you budget, or do you just take it on the fly when it comes to maintenance mm-hmm. stuff? One more segment left before we're joined by Aaron Brown
Woo. Yeah,
from Outdoor
surprise.
Living Unlimited, not Eric Brown. This is new for me. I've been doing the show
first time
how long?
For you. Five years. Yeah.
Aaron's been on.
He was on once before with me.
So stick around for that. We are going to take a break. We'll be right back. It is the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
Dayton and David. It's the Fix It Show on WTMJ.
Indeed it is, sponsored each week by Siding Unlimited and J&B Construction. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate that tremendously, because without listeners, we wouldn't be here. So would you turn your microphone on today, David?
I'm telling you, it's. I don't want to blame engineering, but the microphone two, three weeks ago broke. Yeah. They put a new one in. And
it doesn't have the light.
The microphones, most of them here in the studio, have a red light around them when it's on. And I don't see that on this one. And so I forget that my mic is on. So
anyway,
it's my fault. But
Susan called in during the break. She right. has a
water heater.
Water heater, not a hot water heater.
Right, a water heater.
A water heater.
You don't heat hot water. You get hot water
yeah.
from a water heater. And she said the fan, the exhaust fan, is continuing to run, and she's not getting hot water. What that means is, just like a furnace, a high efficient water heater that's power vented has a fan on the top. And the first thing when you turn your hot water faucet on, sink or something, and it calls for hot water, that water heater will turn on. That fan turns on to exhaust any combustion gas that's present. It wants to clear all that out of there before it allows the burner to start. So the burner, you know, we got a flame down there underneath it. So it wants to clear any combustion gas or natural gas that might be lingering there. Once it's cleared, there's a sensor there. Okay, good. Go ahead and turn on. And so what's probably happening is that it's sensing some, maybe a gas leak or combustion gas there, and the fan is trying to exhaust that, but it's not allowing it to clear and then allowing the burner to turn on. And apparently she can't get somebody there till Monday. If you don't have hot water, if you can make it through the weekend without hot water, which, okay, you take a cold shower or whatever,
I would
probably turn the gas valve off. I think that probably, and see if the fan turns off, but turn the gas valve off. And so somewhere right along your water heater, along the tank, there should be a black, it's usually a black pipe coming down, down to near the bottom of the tank. And there's a little valve, the yellow or blue valve there. If it's really old, you might need a wrench, but you want to turn it so the valve is perpendicular to the pipe. If it's in line with the pipe, it's on. But if you turn the valve 90 degrees, it'll turn it off. I suggest doing that because it sounds like you may have a gas leak or combustion gas or something that the unit's not allowing it to work properly.
All right. Good question. Another person texted in. This isn't your topic, but will you be speaking on new roof with solar power? Live in Appleton. Yeah. I think they're asking if you need a new roof and you have solar power on it, what do you have to do? Or
so typically what I've heard from, and we've had some on the show a while ago, if you had a company install solar panels on your roof, you should contact them to come and remove your panels, have your roof done, and then they'll put the panels back on.
Correct.
It's going to be a cost for it, but yes, they do need to be removed when you do a roof. Mm-hmm. Something to consider when having solar installed on your roof. Just part of the cost.
Great texts that are coming in. Keep them coming. 855-616-1620. Good morning. I have a shallow standpoint well. It's installed a new 4060 regulator hoping for increased water pressure. The increase in water pressure was not noticeable. The shutoff pressure stalls at 60 PSI, which is an improvement, but annoying as I have manually shut it off overnight. I even shut the pump off for fear it will run all night. What do you do? Is there a solution to this? Mark and Tosa asks.
He says he just installed. He's got a Sandpoint well in Wauwatosa.
That's what he says.
Well, I mean, that seems odd for me. Usually, Sandpoint wells, you see them around lakes, in areas where the water table is going to be a little lower and such. So, but if he did it himself, I guess I would call a plumber. Plumbing contractor or somebody, a well pump company, to come and take a look at it, because it shouldn't be running, you know, stalling. He said stalls at 60, so he's actually got to turn it off at night. That doesn't sound right. I'm not sure. That's not my area of expertise for sure. So that's why I think a plumbing contractor or well pump company. Oh, it says it's an up north property. He just texted. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. Find somebody up in the area that can come and service that for you. That's all I can
tell
you.
That's all we got for you on that one, unfortunately. Okay.